AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Allison Keyes in the Washington Bureau. There were harsh words and hard feelings, but Republican Kevin McCarthy was elected overnight to Speaker of the House. Some pundits think he gave up too much for the win. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Congressman Kevin McCarthy has broken through 4 days of GOP opposition on a climactic 15th ballot. After his win, Speaker McCarthy ushers in the new GOP majority, saying now the hard work begins.
We will hold the swamp accountable. From the withdrawal of Afghanistan to the origins of COVID, and to the weaponization of the FBI.
To Americans, McCarthy says,
we commit to stop wasteful Washington spending, to lower the price of groceries, gas, cars, housing, and stop the rising national debt.
President Biden has congratulated Kevin McCarthy on his election as House Speaker and says that he is prepared to work with Republicans when he can. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
There may be more flooding or mudslides in California as a new series of storms heads for the Golden State. At the National Weather Service, Bob Orovec.
Hasn't been much of a break in the rain, and it looks like it's going to be raining for the next week or so. So increased river flows, flooding is likely. Some of the reservoirs are getting full. The ground is saturated. So anytime we have any of the rain, high winds, we're going to have trees fall down, and we're going to definitely have some disruption to the power.
There's some new data out there that may surprise you, especially after pandemic-era lockdowns. You might want to get moving. CBS's Deborah Alfaron explains.
People who travel more tend to be healthier than those who stay close to home. Researchers with University College London found those who regularly traveled, even 15 miles away from home, reported they were in generally better health. Doctors say increased social participation is linked to improved health.
Some people travel to see spectacular things, such as the eruption of a volcano. This woman is pleased that Hawaii's Kilauea chose the holidays to start up.
We saw that Mauna Loa was erupting, and we decided to take the opportunity of Christmas break to come down here because my husband is a geologist, so we thought, well, it's perfect. Unfortunately, that stopped erupting, but now we got this surprise at the end of our trip.
In Chicago, a popular pizza joint was robbed this week despite going cashless. That didn't deter a determined burglar who broke into George's Deep Dish despite a plethora of signs making it clear there was no cash on the premises. Cameras caught the robber breaking into the front door, searching the place, and finally stealing a framed display of two $20 bills and two $50 bills. The owner says the money was signed by family and by friends. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and...
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water, or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I'm pretty happy that we got that on camera of us all playing our respective instruments for On Wisconsin. We are going to talk about yesterday's inauguration, and here to join us and give his thoughts on the ceremony, the speeches, but maybe not the gala, because it sounds like you did not go. Your invite got lost in the mail too, right, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, lost in the mail. I'm not fancy enough to go to these Madison parties, the inauguration. I'm just gonna hang out here in Milwaukee and, you know, eat pizza with my kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so we were on air during the actual rotunda swearing in and the speeches, and I think there was a marching band of some band from, I'm guessing maybe it was West High School, I don't know, was there, but it was full. I saw some pictures. I had it on streaming, but obviously we had a live radio show, so I did not get to watch much of it. Were you watching the live coverage of yesterday starting at 11?
I watched the whole thing. You know, it was, I like these big ceremonial type of things that government does when everybody starts out these sessions with, you know, saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan and we're going to work together. And like all these wonderful platitudes that will, you know, immediately be chucked out the door as soon as, the rubber hits the road. But I like the, you know, the symbolic message of it, to just like the reset, the starting something new, the over the top pomp and circumstance. And then you had, you know, things like Tony Evers getting up in his speech, and he's going to go up and play the hits now. So he started his speech by saying, I'm Tony Evers, and yes, I'm jazzed as hell to be sworn in as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin, and ended his speech, you know, as only Evers truly could, with Wisconsin, let's polka tonight and let's get to work tomorrow. So he's just really playing the hits to start things and close things. I feel like that was really a theme throughout of it. It was just, you know, all these guys saying much what they have throughout the campaign.
Were there any mackerels thrown in there?
I don't think there are any holy mackerels thrown in there. He didn't, you know, swear anything past the jazzed as hell. That's when, you know, Evers is really fired up, when he drops a BS line or something like that in
or
there.
GD.
I feel like we should come up with some sort of Evers anger scale, where it's just like, you know, the BS. I'm trying not to swear on live radio here, so I'll just kick it back to you. But I think, you know, we should really get something like that to talk.
I mean, truly, the Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers, but there's something there. Greg, get on it.
All right, fine. I feel like the top would actually not even be swears. It should be like, now you've done it. And then his eyes just light up with fire, like, oh no, Tony's gone nuclear.
Does Tony Evers as Homelander?
Tony Evers saying something like, listen here, buddy. And it's like, whoa, we gotta take a step back there.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
So I think you make a good point, though, because I feel like on both sides right now, there's been sentiments about not real compromise, but like lowering the temperature between things that Brian Schimming has said in his newly elected position as the GOP chair. Voss has even said a little bit of like, well, we're not going to reintroduce bills that we know he's just going to veto, that Devers has said, you know, what do we need to do to get some of these appointments through? And so do you think it's all, we're not going to swear, BS? Do you think it's actually with good intentions? And do you think there's any chance of not, I'm not going to say everything's going to just be kumbaya, but it is, could it be different this time around, knowing that they can't just, they being the GOP, can't just dig their heels in as much? And to be fair, I've also heard that it's not like the Evers administration was always coming to the table either.
Right. So I think, you know, you think back to these last 4 years of Tony Evers' term, and so much of it from the Republican side in the legislature has been defined by this policy of obstruction, whether it's the gavel in, gavel outs, whether it's not bringing Democratic bills up for public hearings, whether it's not addressing the 180 appointments that never, that the state Senate just never took up, whether it's, you know, the guys like the letting people stay on the DNR board or the Technical College board, all of these things that the Republicans did to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor failed. So you would hope that they have to, you know, alter their strategy a little bit, knowing that they were not able to make Evers a one-term governor. You know, they played basically 4 years of legislative keep away to try to keep Evers from doing even, you know, the types of things that had consensus popularity, things like expanding Medicaid, you know, legalizing marijuana, increasing school funding, all the different things that, you know, as Evers kind of quipped during his speech yesterday, are the types of things that pull off the charts on the Marquette Law poll. You know, he was, I think he had a line here in the speech saying that, like, I'm not naive enough to believe that 100% of the people who cast their ballot agree with me on every issue. Depending on the issue, it's probably closer to 60, 70, 80% based on the Marquette Law poll. So he is trying to, you know, put forward those issues where there is kind of a more of a broad consensus in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I don't think, you know, the Republicans are going to come and have these, this kumbaya moment that, that people might be hoping for. But I do think it's going to have to be a little bit better than last session, knowing that they failed in their ultimate goal of preventing that second term.
Well, because, I mean, the only reason why I'm starting to think maybe the difference between just words and actions is Fred Prentz stepped down. And yesterday, three of the Technical College board people, women, it was all women, right?
Yeah.
Had also stepped down. And so, like, there is some people saying, all right, we're, it's not necessarily the elected officials, but some of the appointed people who refuse to step down are like, all right, I'm gonna walk away now. And that's the only thing that's kind of been a, like a kernel of maybe it won't be as bad.
I think it has to do with what we were talking about in the earlier segment, too, with the House, is that that strategy just didn't work, so they have to correct now. And you're going to have the residual of, like, you know, have the people in, was you'll have those people who will try to be obstructionists, but you got people like Voss who's just going to say, like, all right, let's just get things done. And will people in the GOP in Madison turn on Voss then?
Mm-hmm.
Can they? Because he's, I mean, I would say he's got a lot of power. So, but like,
he's also vindictive as AF.
Yeah, exactly. But like, is this what we're seeing right now in, like, the public, like, just, they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to get something done. It might not be everything we like or not a lot, but it's more than last time.
Well, Voss, so I happened to watch Voss's speech yesterday.
I was going to ask,
Well, so it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about compromise and bipartisanship and all of these things that he has done none of during his extended time as Assembly Speaker. And it's also very interesting to see Voss try to paint himself as some sort of moderate,
yeah,
just because there's like one or two representatives that are now to the right of him, that he, you know, people like Janelle Branchen, who he empowered through making her the head of the elections committee in the last session. So now he's trying to paint himself as the moderate. And I think he said at one point in the speech, you know, 90% of the work is in the middle in Wisconsin, and painting himself as kind of being part of that middle is very funny, considering the fact that we have more than a decade of evidence that he is nothing of the sort. But I think there, you know, there are these like incremental steps that he's kind of, you know, signified. Like, take the Milwaukee local revenue issue, mm-hmm. for example. 2 years ago, in interviews, he does these kind of like interview circuits with like the policy forums and the WisPolitics of the world, and in the kind of like off season before the session, and before, he said on the local sales tax, he said this is never happening, never, never, never. And now he's saying, okay, it's probably not happening. We want to see reform. We want to see privatization. We want to see blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a little better, right? Like, it's a little better that he is not just shutting down the entire thing. But again, he's not exactly the most bipartisan compromise type of guy, as much as he's trying to paint himself as that now.
And that's an interesting thing that I haven't dug in enough. Because I heard that he's saying that. It's like, well, I want them to exhaust. I want the, you know, Crowley, Common Council, Chevy, to exhaust their options of what could be privatized. And I understand the argument of efficiencies and all of this stuff with business. But ultimately, there's things that are public goods. And when you privatize them, those private entities are looking to make money. They're not doing it because it is a right or a public good, right? Like, they're looking to turn a profit on whatever they do. So, like, I don't know. I haven't dug in and be like, well, what could we even privatize that would make sense and not just screw over the people who need these services?
When I worked for the city of Racine, one of the things we looked at doing was privatizing our garbage pickup. And we met with some companies, and we found out the long run, after looking at projections to what you're saying, they're looking to make as much money by spending as least amount of money, which means cutting things within their business, which means cutting services to the people. And we found out that privatizing garbage pickup in Racine would have costed a lot more and been less of a value for the people. So whenever someone talks about the beauty of privatization, that's the first thing I always think about, is that scenario is like, it's going to cost you more in the long run, and people are going to be more angry, and there's going to be less recourse.
Well, you also put up in a position to give them a monopoly.
Yeah.
Who likes We Energies?
They're the number one energy source for you here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Does anyone like We Energy? No. Does anyone think people that We Energy don't like? Think it's working?
No, people. It's the same with Spectrum.
That's what they're saying. We need more We Energy style government in Wisconsin.
This is really working for everyone right now.
It should
now.
Just be called We Energy. Yeah. There's no more than one. Just We Energy.
All right, well, we got to take a break, but Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here when we come back. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 33. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 22 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Temperatures a bit above average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Greg Bach is here. He's very excited about this bumper music that Jane Mattenair on the board played. And we are joined by Dan Schaefer from the Wheaton Population Area. Greg, before we go back into yesterday's inauguration, you seem very excited about that bumper music.
That was Lemmy.
Who?
Motorhead's lead singer. Now RIP, he's gone now. But Lemmy, that was Lemmy singing an acoustic song, which if you know Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Okay, I'm talking to my sister apparently.
I think Jane gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. If you if there's any way you can work Ace of Spades into this soon, you can just hear what Lemmy's known for. But okay.
Okay, Lemmy. Dan gets it too. I'm the only one who's lost a deer in headlights right now.
Oh man, you're just not with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
And I just
didn't you have a metalhead phase growing up, Kristen? Come on.
I had a strong
musical
Broadway. Yeah. Yes, Broadway.
I just had to use it because talking about Governor Evers and the name of the song is I Ain't No Nice Guy, which I just think is perfect.
Lemmy was, though. He was a sweetheart.
The amount of Easter eggs that Jane puts into this show is just chef's kiss. All right. So we're talking about inauguration. We're talking about the speeches, bipartisanship. And that was one of the things as I was reading people's coverage of yesterday is that right now, Devin Lemihu, Voss, they are very hung up on this flat income tax plan. And everything I understand this tax plan to be is that it would benefit people who are already making a lot of money. I would say it's probably still better than no income tax, which I know certain groups are really pushing for that too. And I did not listen to Voss's speech. So what were some of the things that he said about that that you would like to discuss, Mr. Dan Schaefer?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that this was something that the Republicans denied that they were running on during the campaign. a friend of As Goes Wisconsin, Phil Rocco, wrote a piece for the Recombobulation Area talking about the flat tax proposal that Tim Michaels floated. And we got all sorts of backlash saying, oh, this isn't a real proposal. This isn't that. And as soon as the election's over, LeMahieu and Voss are like, yeah, we want a flat tax. We want to have this upwards redistribution of wealth.
We're going to die in this hill during the budget cycle.
Yeah. So they told us, they got so mad at us. We even got pushback from like Grover Norquist over our piece on this, which was very ridiculous. And I can send you the link to the rebuttal that Phil wrote, which was hilarious. But they so insisted, they were so furious with us for saying that Republicans wanted a flat tax. And as soon as the election's over, they're like, yeah, we want a flat tax. So, funny campaign politics versus actual legislating politics as well. But Robin Voss did bring this up again. He had kind of three main points as legislative priorities that he mentioned in his speech when he was elected speaker. Not quite as tumultuous of a vote to elect him speaker as Kevin McCarthy is facing in the House right now. But he did not get 100% of Republicans voting for him. There were 60 votes of the 64 for Voss. I'm still trying to figure out who those four votes are. I know Janelle Branchon is one of them.
Absolutely.
But you know, one of the things that he talked about as a challenge in Wisconsin is Wisconsin's demographic crisis, having no net population growth over the past decade. You know, it's a real mystery who was in charge that past decade. Who could have possibly caused those potential policies with people leaving the state? Who could it have been?
I mean, but Scott Walker had that $1 million ad campaign. You're saying that didn't work?
That did not work. You know, we don't know who was in charge. We don't know who to pin the blame on for these types of things. Couldn't have been the unified Republican government that was advancing. You know, who knows? But he talked about a flat tax as a way to attract people to live in the state of Wisconsin, which I know, Kristen, you've talked about as something that has been floated throughout the campaign is really speaking to the millennial audience. You know, let's get rid of women's reproductive rights. Let's get rid of, you know, all sorts of different things. But, you know, if we have a flat tax, and one of the things that he mentioned with that, and he's mentioned in a couple interviews, I watched too many of these Voss interviews during these the pre-session thing, but he talked about, you know, retired couples, you know, making their primary residence in Florida or Tennessee versus Wisconsin. This seems to be a big concern of Voss's. And he even went as far as to say, you know, that flat taxes, and I'm going to quote here. He says, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a direct quote from
like a wealthy guy. Popcorn king of Wisconsin.
And he's talking about people, whether retired couples having their permanent residence in Florida versus Wisconsin, really speaking to the needs of the state of Wisconsin, really talking about the real priorities that we should be addressing in the state assembly.
Well, and also really speaking to the needs of the workforce that we so desperately need. And I will say, I get it. I have wealthy friends who, when they're like, I should leave New York because I make a lot of money, and if I went to a place like Puerto Rico or Florida or Texas, I wouldn't have to pay this in taxes. And then sometimes they get there, they're like, I miss New York, right? Yeah. There's a reason why you pay a premium on some places to live, and that we are not New York, but we are also not Florida. You know how someone check the weather in Florida right now
We're
and tell
there.
Me the difference of how much more sunshine and temperature they have than us, right? Like, there's certain places that we're not going to be able to compete with because some people just want to have vitamin D in the middle of the winter, right? And there's different, it's 81 degrees there right now. It's 37 here right now. And so I just don't buy that we will be a competitive place by simply lowering our taxes or eliminating income tax, because we need more to compete on than that, because we certainly don't have the weather. And now we're running out of time. Mr. Dan Schaefer, we'll have to have you back, not only again, but maybe for longer. Plenty of things to talk about. The budget, Supreme Court race. I'm sure you'll be writing about all of it on the Recompopulation Area. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Well, when we come back, a conversation about how many friends, specifically good friends, do you actually need for optimal health? We'll be back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Newly minted House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is showing gratitude for former President Trump's help with his win.
But I do want to especially thank President Trump. I don't think anybody should doubt his influence. He was with me from the beginning. Somebody wrote the doubt of whether he was there, and he was all in. He would call me and he would call others.
In a state where weather has killed at least six people, more misery is on the way. There could be flooding, mudslides, and power outages. KPIX-TV's Paul Began.
Very little recovery time, even heavier rain Sunday night and Monday, continuing into Monday night and potentially even Tuesday.
Got your Mega Millions ticket on you?
Again, tonight's winning numbers are 20, 63, 46, 59, 3, and the gold Mega Ball is 13. Now, no matches, all six numbers. Tuesday's jackpot could be $1.1 billion.
It is already up to $1.1 billion since no one won last night. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I am coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left, it's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of time where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the devil's advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us anywhere you're listening on the Civic Media Network. So talk about Wisconsin in the wild, which is something that we love to point out when Wisconsin shows up in national stories. But here is a story that happens right in our backyard in southeastern Wisconsin in Oak Creek about the Flagmakers, which is now an Oscar-contending short documentary that follows workers at our country's largest maker of American flags and flagpoles. And joining us is Sharon Lees, who is one of the co-directors of the Critic Choice nominated film, The Flagmakers. And it's already been having buzz for Oscar contender for short documentary. And there's also now buzz about a Broadway musical. So I feel like I'm so excited that you're here and I have so much to talk to you about. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you also for your flexibility, because with the holidays and COVID, it's been some rescheduling to finally get you on here. But thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your interest.
So how did you, because you're not from Wisconsin. You don't live in Wisconsin.
I don't, and I'm not, but I am a Midwesterner.
Where are you from?
I live in Kansas City. I'm actually from upstate New York, but I've lived in more of my life. I've lived in the Kansas City area.
Okay, great. So Midwest pride. How did you and your co-director, Cynthia Wade, happen upon this story?
Well, Cynthia and I have collaborated a lot on projects, and we were talking about several years ago about the anti-immigrant sentiment growing in this country and wanted to do something with immigrants. And since I live in Kansas City, I found this program that was being done where immigrants and refugees were learning to sew in a 6-week sewing program, and then they had jobs after that. So we started to film that, and one of the women found a job at a flag factory in Kansas City. And once that happened, Cynthia and I were like, this is an incredible backdrop to be talking about immigrants. And we approached that flag factory, and they weren't so excited about the idea of having a film crew there, which is understandable. But we really liked the idea. So we did a nationwide search, and we found Eder Flag in Oak Creek. And it wasn't a slam dunk, but we talked to Jody Goglio there, who is the COO, and just talked more and more. And when we visited the place, we walked in there and knew we would never look at the American flag the same way again. I mean, it's just the tapestry of America when you go in there.
And so once you got there, what was kind of the, because I know very little about making documentaries. I very much enjoy documentaries, but kind of what you said, sometimes it's as much journalism of pulling the thread of finding, turning on the cameras and trying to see what you're going to find, because it's not narrative. You don't know the beginning, middle, and end of what's going to happen. And so you get to Oak Creek, and how did you find your quote unquote main characters? How long did you film for? Kind of what was the process once you got to Wisconsin?
Well, it's interesting that you say that about, documentaries, because when you're unscripted, you have to find the story.
Yeah.
You can't just go in and say, this is the story I'm going to tell, and then find the cast. So you have to work with what you have. And that's one of the reasons why we loved Eder Flag, because it was just a pool of people that anybody had a really interesting story. All the people that are immigrants and refugees, like, they had some incredible story about how they got there. Mm-hmm. And then working side by side with people who were Midwesterners, they also have really interesting stories. So what we did was we first went there with no cameras. And for a couple days, we just sat in a conference room, and people would come in and talk to us for a half an hour at a time. And we would learn about their stories and learn about what part of their stories they would be willing to share. Because there were also stories that we really couldn't share because it would be really risky for some people who left some countries, when they had to flee a country. So what's interesting too is that Radissa, who becomes our main, the main voice of the film, when we first met her and talked to her and she left the room, and Cynthia and I looked at each other and we're like, she can walk us through the whole film. Like, she's our guide. But as we got filming and editing after 3 years of doing this for a 35-minute film, we thought maybe we won't have Radissa do that. And then we did a version where we didn't have Radissa as the person who led us through. But then we went back to our original instinct and realized that that was really the way to go.
And so 3 years for a 35-minute film, that is remarkable. So when did you start filming then?
So we filmed in July of 2019.
Okay.
That's when we started. Okay. Yeah, and then the pandemic hit. Yeah. So we didn't think we would be filming for 3 years, but the pandemic slowed us down, as it did everyone. Yeah. You know, and it was really hard to film there because we could only get in at certain times, and we were testing before we went in. We would quarantine for a week, you know, just get to Milwaukee and then wait and then go in. We were filming through windows, through doors. But it allowed us to be able to capture things that were unfolding in the country over those 3 years that, you know, had there not been a pandemic, we would not have had the opportunity to tell some of the stories that we were able to tell.
We're talking to Sharon Leese, who is the co-director of the Critic Choice nominated film, The Flagmakers. And, you know, one of the things, and I don't know how much this came up by just being in Oak Creek, but I think the story of Oak Creek of the last 10 years is it was just the anniversary of the Sikh temple shooting in 2012. And the stories that came out of that, as far as immigrants and people who are different and how much community building came out of that 10 years ago, did that filter in at all in any of the stories you guys were able to capture?
Actually, we thought about including that in our documentary, but it's a 35-minute film, so we couldn't. But we tried many different ways because it's so core to the community, mm-hmm. and to the heart of the community. You know, that tragedy obviously stays with everyone forever. But we were just so impressed with the diversity in this, you know, Midwest town, and you know, because you see it everywhere. And the food is great because there's all kinds of diversity of food, and the people and the way the different perspectives. We were just so impressed. We just, you know, from the beginning knew that this was just a really special place.
Absolutely. So then how did Giannis get involved? Because I feel like, you know, the arguably one of the most famous, beloved people in Wisconsin, maybe in the world, because how do you not love Giannis? But he obviously was coming off of the rise with the fictional depiction of his family and their immigration story. But how did he get involved in helping to be one of the executive producers for this film?
I know. we got really lucky. So so National Geographic is also producing the film, and we've licensed the rights to them. And they're owned by Disney Plus, which had okay. Giannis had his project there. So when people around in Disney Plus and National Geographic, they were seeing rough cuts, they noticed that we had one of our characters, Sugar Ray, who's very much a Bucks fan. And as a matter of fact, that is the only flag if he were to fly a flag, that is the only flag he would fly.
I know more people who are also like that.
So they started seeing the tie-in, and through them, they were able to, you know, see if he wanted to consider that and take a look at the film. And he looked at the film and then, you know, kind of pretty quickly got on board and was a big supporter.
That's, yes, I could imagine. I mean, I think the similar threads I could imagine. Obviously, his immigration story is not an American one, besides obviously his rise to fame. But everything I saw from that movie is of what happened in Greece for him. And so it's another kind of feather as far as how much he is about community and raising people up and raising up this community and what he's meant to Wisconsin. So seeing his name attached to something. But then also, because I have more questions, but I feel like we should play a clip of the trailer, because both Jane and I, like, I don't know how anyone can get through watching this trailer without getting a little teared up. And so let's play a little bit of it.
When I moved from Serbia, it surprised me a little bit how much Americans love their flag. In all our flags, we have pieces of our employees' stories. That flag, we have a story to tell. Story of us.
The first step is sewing the star field to the short stripes. The next person will take the long stripes.
I haven't worked at a place that has been this diverse before.
Good morning,
everybody. Big lava, Miro Manjesi, Salam Aleikum.
I understand the pride of immigrants looking at the American flag, being in a country where you could aspire to be anything that you want to be.
Nice people here. Don't remember all their names. Their names are different than American names, but that's okay.
Heard that Wisconsin accent strong. A lot of accents in the movie. So was it emotional to make this more so than other films you've made in the past?
Well, that's a tough question, because I do get into the emotions of my characters a lot. But this was in its own way very emotional, because we were telling the story of America and, you know, in a large scale, but then we also had the intimate stories of each of the people that we followed, and we know, and obviously you can tell that there's even more that we were not able to go into with each person. So there's a lot about, and a lot that's also very inspiring, because the especially the immigrants, you know, just kind of remind you of what the hope and the promise of this country is. And even though they go through some pretty big hardships and racism and attacks, they still have such a beautiful sense of this country.
And so when you and Cynthia decided to make, you found the manufacturing company, Eater. And did you know that you wanted it to be short? Because it feels like there's so much there that it could have been longer. Was it hard to keep it to 35 minutes?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge to make a short. And Cynthia and I did go into it knowing that we wanted it to be a short. There were times when we thought, wow, we really have a feature here. But there's just something so poetic about a short. We wanted it to have the experience of it, for people to feel like it was like they were in the experience of a feature length, but tell it in a very short, tight way, though not feeling rushed.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break quickly. Our guest this half hour is Sharon Lease, who is the co-director of The Flag Makers, which is already won a Critics' Choice. It's a Critics' Choice nominated and Oscar contender. So I want to talk a little bit more about the reception so far, and also how this could maybe end up on Broadway. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Coming to America, got a dream they come to share. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. Country, tis of thee,
today.
Sweet land of liberty,
today.
Of thee I sing,
today.
Of thee I sing.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 33. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows level off around 22. Cloudy skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 34. A blend of clouds and sun Monday. Clouds on the increase by Tuesday. Highs in the upper 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
To look for America.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Sharon Lease, who is the co-director of The Flag Makers, which is a short documentary that was filmed right in Oak Creek about exactly that. The both local people from Wisconsin, immigrants who are making America's Flags. It's the largest American flag company in the country, and it is executive produced by Giannis himself. It is distributed and produced by National Geographic, and it's recently been nominated for a Critics' Choice Award, and it's also in the top 15 contenders for short documentary for Oscars.
Yes.
Congratulations. Yes. That has
Thank you.
Obviously, you don't make films to get awards, but it has to feel good when it happens.
Yeah, it's pretty thrilling. It's humbling, and it's also very, very thrilling.
And so what, beyond just the award recognitions, what else has been the reception? Is there any anecdotal stories that you've heard from people who've seen it, who, what it's meant to them?
Oh, yeah. And we hear this mostly at some of the screenings because we've been at film festivals. And, you know, people come up to you afterwards and they relate to one of the characters in the film. And they'll tell us about that, or they'll talk about Barb, who's lived in the Midwest her whole life. And they may talk about how, you know, America failed her. And she might not feel that way. Barb herself, but they see that, or someone who, an immigrant who will come up to us and tell us that, you know, they see themselves in those stories, or people who really want to talk about the flag and about how they are concerned about flying a flag and they don't fly a flag anymore because they don't want people to mistake what they believe, whatever that is.
That's a topic we've talked on the show before, as far, especially around 4th of July, is the shifting in our country of what the symbolism of the American flag. And obviously it was so funny watching the trailer, right? The intricacies of sewing an actual American flag, not like a cheap plastic one you buy on Amazon, but the appropriation, at least in this country, of we put the American flag on so much merch and, clothes and stuff, but an actual American flag and how delicately it's sewn together. I think even just from watching the trailer, you can tell the craftsmanship that goes into making a high quality flag. But it's interesting because right in the beginning, when is that Radissa who says this country really loves their flag.
Yeah. Like she couldn't believe that she could make a whole career of almost 30 years making American flags. Like how many flags do they need? And right now they're at 400% growth rate in the demand for American flags. Yeah. It's just insane. And they have like a second shift, a third shift. They're working on the weekends. They just cannot meet the demand.
And so this is, 'cause I do want to get to the Broadway buzz, but when you were doing the search of where you could have the backdrop for this story, how many American flag companies are there in the country?
That is a good question. I really don't know, because I just know that there are several of these large ones, and, you know, Eder being the largest, and a lot of them are in the Midwest. But I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I was just, because as you said, if they're having so many shifts and they have such a high demand, it'd be interesting to see how many other companies are in a similar situation. So it actually worked out well that we had to reschedule this interview a couple times, because since I first reached out to you and Cynthia, I saw this headline in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that there's now potential that or interest in turning this story into a Broadway musical.
Yeah, it's actually been optioned already for a Broadway musical with Mark Gordon of Come From Away fame.
Love that.
So, and we're really excited about that, because there are so many stories that I think lend themselves to a musical in that Come From Away sort of way. It can be amazing. All the different music and the languages and all of the incredible stories that we weren't able to tell in because of time or safety. We'll be able to do it in a Broadway show.
Sharon, I'm just going to throw this one name out there. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Seriously.
That natural. I can see that. Yeah. I can. Yeah.
And yeah. So has that ever happened to any other movies or documentaries you've made before, as far as the very clear vision of like, oh, you can see the jump of how this would become true to the story, but still like a narrative in a totally different medium?
No, I mean, for shorts, especially, this is the first time we've ever heard of this happening. It has happened with feature docs I've heard before, but not with a short. But there are so many things, especially with an ensemble cast, that you can tell these incredible stories, and some of the stories that, you know, for safety reasons we were not sharing, but, you know, it can be fictionalized now, and nobody can get, you know, nobody will get hurt. So we're excited, because if you walk through the factory itself, everyone has like their own little workstations, where they've decorated in something from their country. And then they all have they have radios going, with all the different music. So you walk through and it's just such a soundscape of different sounds from the world.
Oh, that just gave me chills, especially when you said Lin-Manuel, was the combo of Come From Away and Lin-Manuel Miranda and like the possibilities of all of that. Makes this Broadway nerd very excited. So for the time being, where can people stream The Flagmakers right now?
So you can see it on Disney Plus tomorrow, January 6th, for 2 weeks. You can also find it on Hulu.
Oh, great. Absolutely. And so anything else you'd like people to know before we close out the show and let you go?
I just think, I hope people see this film and think about all the things that they have thought about the American flag before, and compare that to what they think about it after they see the film.
And Sharon, I just want to say too, when they do go see it, and I know people who are listening will, bring Kleenex. You're going to be a slobbering, snotty, teary mess.
good advice, Jane. All right. Sharon Lees, co-director of The Flagmakers, which you can find on Disney Plus right now and for 2 weeks starting today on Hulu. Perfect.
Yes, starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Thank you. Sharon, thank you so much for taking time to spend with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
It was great.
Well, this will about do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 11. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. Aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America. Thank you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.